Thanks for listening to Cap and Jay Hood, brought to you by Miller Lite.
David Kaplan.
Jonathan Hood.
Our new morning show. This is Cap and Jay Hood.
On ESPN 1000.
And the ESPN Chicago app.
So it's 8 o'clock. That means we get to talk to Dan Wiederer. And there's a lot to unpack with Dan. He was on that Zoom call when Matt called out the defense. Dan Wiederer of the Tribune and ESPN 1000 joins us now. Daniel, good morning. How are you?
I'm great. How are you guys?
We are great. We were discussing, first of all, of the five open GM jobs, if the Bears job was open, Jacksonville, Texans, Falcons, Lions, Bears. If you could have your pick of any of those jobs, who would you take?
You know, I probably agree with Hoodie on this one, where if you've got your franchise quarterback locked in, that's the one that you'd like to lean toward initially. Houston would be pretty appealing to that end. I think if you're giving me a choice of one of those five, that's probably where I'm going. And I guess I've made it no secret since 2017 what I think about Deshaun Watson, and for that guy to be, was he 25 years old? Mm-hmm. There's a lot of football ahead there. And so you've got a window that can stay open for a long time.
So, Dan, how surprised were you at Matt Nagy's demeanor? We've seen this bubbling to the surface, even when the Bears were winning, where there was an edge to him, because clearly he was not happy with the offense. But what did you think of his thoughts about the overall team, offense and defense?
So it's a comprehensive question, Hoodie, because the tone didn't surprise me at all. If you've been around Matt for his three seasons here, you realize that after night games, that he doesn't get a lot of sleep and he tends to be a little edgier. If you remember, after they beat the Buccaneers in October, he had that morning after call that was a little edgier than everyone was expecting as well. Like, wait a second, you just won and you seem a little bit upset and uptight about the way things went in that game. And so I wasn't surprised at all that Matt had that edge to him, particularly with as poorly as they played and as embarrassing and humiliating as that loss was on Sunday night. The surprising part, as you guys mentioned, was coming at the defense with the sword sharpened. And you better be very comfortable and confident in doing that and taking that approach, because I promise you that whether those guys are big boys or not, and whether they know that they played like poop on Sunday night and put forth a terrible performance or not, they can come back to you and say, listen, coach, every shred of success you had in your 3 years here has been firmly rooted in how well we've played as a defense. And now you're going to put us on blast after your offense has been mediocre to terrible for three seasons here in Chicago. And so it's very delicate. It's very delicate. And it's going to be very interesting this week to see how players respond to that and to see how Matt sort of conveys the message that he conveyed publicly behind closed doors to those players at Hallis Hall, because that's a very important part of keeping this thing together over the last 5 weeks of the season.
So, like, there's so much to unpack about what you and Hoodie just talked about, and then you've got Anthony Miller, Javon Wims, who's lucky to cash a check, and Allen Robinson all liking tweets of, hey, come to San Francisco, that's where wide receivers go to die in Chicago, and they're putting this on their social media, like, holy smokes. You know, some of that stuff has got to be unpacked by the head coach where, hey, Javon, you're lucky your ass gets a check now that you've served your two-game suspension. Get off social media. Like, does that cause an issue in the locker room?
All of this goes back to the fact that October 18th was the last time they left the stadium with a victory, Cap. So it's been 45 days now since they last tasted a win. And in the NFL, every time a losing streak gets to 2, to 3, to 4, to 5, it just continues to compound and the frustration gets greater and everything inside the building becomes a little bit more tense and pressure packed. Remember, we talked about when they were 5-1 that they were a very flawed football team, but they had the luxury of having victories to then go back to the building with a good feeling and a little bit of, relaxation to their improvement process. They haven't had that now for almost 7 weeks. And so the tension is no doubt building within that building. You see the way they played Sunday night. It was a terrible performance, an uncharacteristically bad performance by the defense. The offense was a joke. Mitch was, again, erratic, inconsistent, didn't process the field, didn't make accurate throws. It's all kind of coming apart, and now you've got five more weeks to try to make sure that it doesn't become this massive fracture where the whole thing just crumbles around you and everyone looks at it and says, well, they got no choice but to blow the whole thing up. And so this is what Matt's dealing with right now. He absolutely has to have a pulse on that locker room, a pulse on the mood of his players, and figure out how to get them in the right mindset to try to go win a game Sunday against the Lions.
Seemingly, Mitch Trubisky is broken offensively, Dan. When did you think it started for him, where you start to see the erosion or just kind of the same play time and time again?
Training camp 2019. Mm-hmm. I'll go back to that over and over again of those couple weeks in Bourbonnais of seeing some of that just lack of comfort, lack of confidence, lack of command. And again, I've said it a number of times, the worst thing that could have happened for that quarterback with the situation was having the NFL's 100th season correspond with some of the struggles he was having in the preseason of that year, because the Bears went into a bright lights, big stage game against the Packers in week one of a season that carried grand Super Bowl hopes on a Thursday night. They didn't score a touchdown. He threw an interception in the end zone in the fourth quarter. They lost 10-3, and then he had 10 days to stew on it, and it all sort of snowballed from there, and it's never, ever gotten back on track. Sure, there was the two-game winning streak last year against the Lions and the Cowboys on back-to-back Thursdays that got everybody, okay, you know, there's something here, and then fell apart again from there. And so it's just been, you know, since training camp 2019, a gradual fracture of this thing to a point where obviously after what we watched Sunday night, we can all be in agreement that Mitch has not been scapegoated. He has not gotten a raw deal. He's just not good enough to be a consistent difference-making starting quarterback in this league.
So, and we're talking to Dan Wiederer from the Chicago Tribune and ESPN 1000. So you always give out on our show or Carmen Yerk or Waddle Sylvie the odds that there's going to be change. What my biggest fear is that they go, all right, we're going to let Ryan pick another quarterback and another coach, or Matt, you're going to stay, Ryan, you're out, we'll go get another GM. And again, you have got to go get a football guy, hand him the keys, and go, good luck. It's all yours. Here's the checkbook. You do what you got to do. Where are you on change possibly coming?
I don't see how change can't come with the way that this season has gone. And look, we've talked about it before on this show that we put very direct questions to George McCaskey at the end of last season and again before this season started about how he was going to be viewing this, how he was going to be evaluating this, what lens he was going to be using to evaluate Matt and Ryan. And more than once, he said, look, I'm trying to figure out whether this team is more like the 2018 Bears or more like the 2019 Bears, which was the exception and which one is the true identity of this team. Through 11 games, Cap, I think we have our answer. This is very much 2019 all over again, more so than it was that heater where the Bears won 9-10, went into the playoffs with Super Bowl hopes in 2018. And so George has to spend this month of December evaluating all these things. He has to determine how much heat he wants to put in the chairs of each of those men as they go through the final month of the season. I see zero scenario where Ryan is back and Matt isn't, right? I don't know how you could justify that in any way, shape, or form to this city and this fan base with what's unfolded this season, last season, through the last 6 years. It's going to be very interesting to see what happens. And again, there's five more chapters to this story. I say that emphatically this week because, you know, they can do some things to at least show the outside world that it's not coming apart fully and that there is some signs of promise, or they could lose a game Sunday to the Detroit Lions, who just blew up their entire operation. And imagine what the conversation in this city is next week. And so, so all these things are possible. You could lose next week to Deshaun Watson at Soldier Field. You could lose at the end of December to the Jacksonville Jaguars. All of those things can change this conversation in extreme ways as we go forth toward the end of the season. And so there's a lot more to play out, but certainly this month is now all about job security and who can show what to prove they deserve to stick around.
Dan, how would you characterize the future for the Lions? Which direction are they going with a new coach, a new GM next season?
I have no idea.
Oh, come on now. Well, it starts with a quarterback in Stafford. And so when you look at the, I mean, so we look at a team here that's, with Caldwell, that was good, but not good right. against over 500 teams. So it's hard to measure exactly the direction. And then, you know, Coach Pencil comes in there, and they're going in the total wrong direction. So how do you see it?
The reason I laugh, I'll tell you this, is because when I walked out of Ford Field in week one, when DeAndre Swift dropped that game-winning touchdown pass in the end zone and the Lions choked away a 17-point lead in the fourth quarter of their opener, I went over to Dave Burkett and Kyle Meinke, who cover the Lions in Detroit, and I said, I don't know how you guys cover this franchise. It is painful for long stretches in Chicago covering the Bears, and the Bears as an organization and with a franchise in terms of track record of success are miles ahead of where the Lions are. The Lions have won one playoff game in my entire life, right?
Wow.
And you know when that was, Cap? I was 15 years old, guys, when the Lions last won a playoff game. So think about that. We're talking about this extended drought for the Bears. It's been a decade since they've won a playoff game. The Lions haven't won a playoff game since I was 15 years old.
And you're 69?
I'll be 44 this month. And so, you know, do the math on that and understand just how wayward and how lost and how often they're going through this process. Obviously, to your point, they have a lot of hard decisions to make with Matthew Stafford and what is his future. And you just turning the page completely and starting over from scratch. I mean, again, when you get to a point where you're turning over the general manager, the head coach, and the starting quarterback, you're at a point where you're lost, right? And it's possible that the Detroit Lions have reached that point. It's possible that the Chicago Bears have reached that point. Sunday at noon, Soldier Field, what a matchup, right?
Yeah, it's amazing to me that those who fail to follow history are doomed to repeat it. If the Bears truly go out and change one of Matt or Ryan, it would just solidify that they're the dumbest franchise in the National Football League. If you either got to, and I'm not saying I would do this, don't get me wrong, they've either got to double down, we got the right guys and they're getting another year, or you have to clean house. And like John Dorsey, we were talking about him earlier, he's going to be probably the hottest GM candidate out there, and he's going to bring Eric Bieniemy with him, it looks like, as a head coach. Like, that's really intriguing to me. Like, if I'm George McCaskey, I'm like, hold on a minute, that guy's not working for anybody. I can go meet with him today, socially distanced or not. I could sit down like Arturis did with Billy Donovan and go, okay, here's the checkbook. Here's the keys card to Hallis Hall. I'm out of your way. You do what you got to do. Like, that's intriguing to me.
It's intriguing to you, but you have to reflect back on the first question you asked me. How intriguing is it to those men, right? And how do they view the Chicago Bears, this franchise, an organization that hasn't sustained success in 30 years, clearly doesn't have the infrastructure in place to create the success and then sustain it when they achieve it in flashes? And so, you know, certainly to a GM, the opportunity to maybe take a swing and pick your quarterback, pick your coach is something that's appealing. At the same time, you know, going somewhere with an established quarterback is something that is certainly a welcome luxury that buys you time that a lot of other places aren't going to give you, right? And so that's all part of this, this isn't a draft. You don't go out and draft a general manager and a head coach. You have to recruit them, and you have to make sure that they believe in your organization as much as you believe in them. And that's a challenging task at times, particularly when you've been as wayward as the Bears have been, you know, over generations and over regime after regime after regime after regime. And so the outside perception of this organization is not what the inside perception of this organization is. Certainly the tradition, the history here are rich and they're meaningful, but they don't mean as much to people looking for long-term job security as the folks inside that building think.
Hey, man, have a great rest of your day, okay?
You guys do the same. Love talking to you.
Love talking with you. That's our guy, Dan Wiederer. And interesting stuff on Matt Nagy. Let's see how this whole thing plays out. Why is Zetterman like Lombardi? You heard me right. Why is Zetterman like Lombardi? You do not want to miss this. We could have done 3 hours on this topic. It's next.
This is Cap and Jay Hood. Enjoy the show each morning in your Instagrammies. At Cap Jay Hood on Instagram.
This is Chicago's home for sports.
ESPN 1000.
So we got into this discussion with our friend Danny Zetterman in the meeting this morning.
Yeah.
And I truly believe we could have led the show with this topic and done 3 hours and people would have been engaged. So, Danny, I'm going to open the floor to you. You spent some quality time with some of your family yesterday.
The truth is, when I told you guys this story in the meeting, I didn't actually even think this was going to be the topic we were going to discuss today. So, yesterday, I needed to make a Target run, right? You need stuff for the house. We got to get toilet paper. You got to get shampoo. You need stuff at the house.
What's that like?
Well, you could come to Glenview. We have a nice Target.
Wow, that's great.
He has to fill his tank up to get to a store.
You're always welcome. You can pit stop at the Zetterman house, have some peaches. It's not peach season. We have nice pomegranates now.
Thank you.
But the point is, so I needed to make a Target run. So because the family's cooped up in the house, there's no school, there's no activities. When I need to make a run, I'll take the kids with me. I have three kids, a seven-year-old and two almost five-year-olds, and I'll take them with me to get them out of the house. So I said to the kids, hey, we're going to Target. I'm leaving at 3:30. Now, you guys know me. I'm never late. We work in a business where our lives are run by the clock. I also feel like the one thing in life that you can't get more of is time, so I don't like to waste it. And if you waste time, it's disrespectful to everybody else's time you're wasting as well. So time's a big deal to me. So I say to the kids, we're leaving at 3:30. My son's last Zoom for school ends at 3:25. Boom, put your shoes on, put your coats on, we're leaving at 3:30. And I say this maybe 10 times. We're leaving at 3:30, we're leaving at 3:30, we're leaving at 3:30.
Yeah.
3:30 comes, my boys, Avery and Aiden, they've got their shoes on, they've got their coats on, they're at the door. My daughter, beautiful Zoe, is upstairs in a room, sitting on the floor playing with Barbies, wearing no pants, no shoes, no socks, nothing. I go upstairs, I say, Zoe, we're leaving, we're going.
Yeah.
She says, I'll be there in a minute. Well, sorry, sweetheart, we're leaving. And me and the boys get in the car and we go to Target. And we do the shopping. And I don't think this is a big deal. That's why this morning I didn't think this was part of what we were going to talk about. But your guys' reaction to the fact that I left my daughter behind is what shocked me.
It's very mixed.
If I say that we're leaving at 3:30 and 3:30 comes and we don't leave, she's never going to learn to be on time. By me saying, all right, it's 3:30, the car's leaving, and you're not ready, hopefully next time I tell her we're leaving at a certain time, she'll realize, all right, time's important, and I'm not going to be late again. Now, when I got home, she was very upset. She actually said, which made me sad, she said, I felt left out. And I felt bad about that.
She was left out.
And my wife was pretty pissed at me. She said, oh, another rule in the book of Danny. But I don't see how being on time is a rule in the book of Danny.
Well, first of all, I would say that the limo driver should be a little bit more patient. I mean, I know he's got a time at 3:30, but I think, you know,
yeah, no shot.
Maybe 3:35, 3:40. If the limo driver is a little bit more patient.
No.
You're the one who's driving, right?
But I was driving. Okay. You thought Cap was going to Target. There's no limo driver at the Zetterman house. Stop yourself, Woodrow.
No, Meller said, well, she was left out. No, she left herself out. And I agree 100% with Danny. And Diana has I hope I'm not speaking out of turn here. Diana's not a timely person.
No, no. She. My wife will pat herself on the back for being 20 minutes late.
Okay, like when you got to lay the law down, kid. The kids have to learn.
Yes, and I think being on time is one of those life lessons that's important to learn. Like, this is going to last her whole life. Like, if you think being late at five-year-olds is acceptable, when you're 25-year-old, you're going to think it's acceptable. So, like, my point simply was I didn't want to leave her out, and certainly Target wasn't going to close if we didn't get there at 3:30. But the point was, if something starts at 3:30, if we're leaving at 3:30 and you're not ready, the ship sails without you.
She is 4.5.
She'll be 5 in 16 days.
She's 4.
She's 5.
So she's not 5. No, no, no. She's not 5 yet. She's still 4 years old.
You round up. She's 5.
She has not yet lived on this earth for 5 years in her. She's not yet been alive that long. She's
correct.
Still 4 years old. Does she have herself an Apple Watch?
No, she doesn't have an Apple Watch.
Do you and Diana request that she wake you up in the morning?
No, she does that anyway.
So
yeah,
but you don't set her. You don't have her set an alarm so that you wake up at 3:40 every morning to get here for work.
No, of course not.
Because she's a 4-year-old.
But let me ask you this question, okay? The two boys understood 3:30. The two boys had their shoes on, their coats on, and were ready to go. Why does they don't have Apple Watches? They don't wake me up. They were responsible to know, hey, Dad said we're leaving soon. We better get ready. And the time's not of the issue. You know me, Jeff. I can repeat myself better than anyone in the world. I literally must have said 10 times between 3 and 3:30, we're leaving soon, 15 minutes, 10 minutes, get your shoes on, we're going to go.
Now, as a father of 10-year-old twins, I still have an issue to this day when I remind them time after time that we need to be going in 5 minutes, in 10 minutes. I know that children can get lost in their imaginations, and which Zoe was clearly doing, playing with Barbies. And time is, for kids, completely a completely different thing. You know, and asking them, especially at 4 years old, and I understand you gave her plenty of warnings, but unless you actually sit down with a child and have a conversation and say, hey, we're going to Target. Did you get down on a knee, Danny, and like eye to eye talk to her and say, hey, Zoe, we're going to go to Target. Do you want to go with us because we're going to leave specifically at 3:30? Because unless you have like an actual conversation and they comprehend what you're doing and they're not like, because otherwise it just becomes background noise.
Yeah, I would say that I wish Danny would spend time at my house to get my wife going. You know, if we got a 7 o'clock dinner appointment and she's ready at 7:30, that doesn't get the job done. I've dealt with that for years. I've told her, yeah, she's Peacock because she works at NBC, but she's Princess when she does that. It's the worst. You want to be able to be on time, and that's something that's learned behavior, right? And so Danny, at a grassroots level, is telling his kids, hey, 3:30, we got to be on time. So that probably resonates with his kids when they get older. Like, hey, Dad was always on time, so I'm going to be on time. Yeah. Unless you're just a rebel.
I'm 100% in Danny's corner on this. 100%. It's, hey, man, it's disrespectful to be late. And it is instilling it in her. The next time Danny says we're going to Target, if it really means something to her, she will find a way that she will be ready. Ooh, my brothers are ready. I better get ready. I don't want to miss out this time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good for Danny.
You make the call.
312-332-3776.
Yeah, it is IBM. That's right, Harry. It is IBM. You make the call because is Danny right or is Danny wrong? Hey, listen. I told you earlier, Cap, it is the worst when you've got to lie to your wife that, hey, our flight is at 9 o'clock out of Myrtle Beach, right, when it's really 10:30.
Because I got to make sure we get there on time.
I shouldn't, but that shouldn't be the case. You should be able to know, like, hey, 10 o'clock is 10 o'clock, right? But this is something that obviously is learned behavior from my wife's standpoint because she must have grown up with that because she's never on time for anything.
Right.
Right? And so Danny, at a small level, telling his kids now, hey, make sure that you're on time because maybe when they get older, they'll feel the same
way.
Yeah,
I remember our bus at Northern Illinois was pulling out. We're going to play like at Western Michigan. And Coach McDougal said, we are pulling out of the arena at 3:30, whatever the time was. And here came one of our better players, and we were driving through the parking lot. It was like 3:32, and we are gone. And he's running. Everyone's like, hey, there's Billy. Sorry. Find your own way there. And he had to get somebody to drive him to Kalamazoo, and then he didn't start the game because he was late.
Wow.
And he's like, I'm here. How can you not start me? Because you were late. You put yourself in that position.
Yeah.
100%. So phone lines are hopping. 312-332-3776. Vicky in North Aurora is first. Hey, Vic.
I was listening to that story, and I was like, I hope Danny left her at home. And so I could not be 100% more on Danny's side on this. Funny, because I was visiting family for the holiday. My 17-year-old niece, I was going to take her out for a quick breakfast before I had to go for my flight. I told her three times what time we were leaving for breakfast that morning. She still wasn't ready. I was furious. This was a really good way to teach her a lesson.
Completely agree. Vic, thank you.
Yep. Have a great day, guys.
You too. Do you know how many times that when I want to see a movie premiere at 7 that I want to leave my wife behind?
Right.
And see, take the other car, see you at the theater.
Right. Whenever you get there, I don't care, but I'm not going to be late.
It's just, and I don't know what, you know what? That's when you got to get one of your doctor friends on. Like, why is that a behavior? Why is it do you feel that you have to be late? Because you want to be the center of the attention? Like if it's a party, right? The party plugger says 10 till, right? That mean you had to be there at 10 because it's a party. It's 10 till whatever. Mm-hmm. I can understand. You want to get there at 1? That's fine. But when there's an appointment for a restaurant or you got to get to a certain flight and you got to be there at a certain time, why be 30 minutes late just because?
Mm-hmm.
Why be an hour late? Why is that?
Agree.
Have you dealt with that before?
Different relationships, yes. My wife is fanatic about being on time. Fanatic. So we aren't late. And I remember there's times we've had to go to like a family event at my brother's. And I'm coming from work. Then I got to stop and pick her up and then get to his house. So we walk in late and she's mortified. And I'm like, hon, I was on the air. What do you want me to do? I'm working here.
Yeah.
It would drive her nuts. Drive her, use a vacation day then. If they asked us to be there at 6 o'clock, then we should be there at 6 o'clock, not staggering in at 6:20 because you had to work.
Yeah.
So I understand it. Phone lines are locked and loaded. People want to weigh in on this. Yeah. We're going to get all of your thoughts.
Yes. Yeah. So where's Harry Callis? Because this is IBM presents.
You make the call.
There you go, Harry.
Bam.
There
he is. Your calls.
Harry.
On this topic. Next.
Cap and Jay Hood on ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
All right, phone lines are locked and loaded. And when I did the tease again, in case you just tuned in, I said Lombardi time. Zetterman and Lombardi time. And so if you Google, what is Vince Lombardi time? Lombardi time is a principle that comes from Vince Lombardi, the legendary former Hall of Fame coach of the Packers. Lombardi instilled in his team a simple rule. If you didn't show up 15 minutes early for a meeting, you were considered late. Period.
They showed it on the broadcast Sunday night. I loved it. They showed the clock, and it was like 7:15 Central Time, but the clock at Lambeau Field said 7:30, and Steve Levy did a great job of explaining what that was.
All right, to the phone lines we go here on this conversation.
All right, let's go to Omar on the north side of the city. Omar.
Hey, good morning, guys. Love the show.
Appreciate you.
So, Danny, she's 4.5 years old. You're thinking about this from a grown man's perspective that's educated. 4.5-year-olds think irrationally. So what if she thinks that, oh, my dad didn't love me enough to wait 3 minutes so I can get ready and go out with him?
Oh,
you can't think about it from you can't think about it from a grown man's perspective. She's 4.5 years old. I mean, 4.5-year-olds think irrationally. What do you guys think about that?
Two things, Omar. First, at 3:30, as the boys stood at the front door in their shoes and their coats ready to leave, I went up to Zoe's room, gave her her pants and her socks, and I said, Zoe, I'm leaving. Put these on. And she still didn't, like, jump up and put on her clothes. She was still playing with Barbies. And not like the military, like, yes, sir. But, like, if she wanted to go at that point, you take the pants from dad, you put them on, you say, okay, I'm going. She didn't get off the floor. She was still playing Barbie. As far as her feeling loved, I did come back from Target with a new Barbie for her so she didn't feel left out. Because obviously at Target, the boys each got something. So she did get herself a brand new Barbie, which the brothers picked out, and she ended up hating anyways.
Wait, so now there's mixed messages. So now you're reinforcing her behavior.
No. I didn't reinforce her behavior.
You gave her a toy.
I can't come home with the brothers having something for going, and then not only did you not get to go with us, you get a lump of coal tonight.
See, like,
you got brothers at the crib?
Always.
Back to the phone
always.
Lines.
Go to Steve on the north side. Hey, Steve, what's up, Sparkles?
Hey, good morning, guys. Enjoying the banter.
Thank you.
Hey, just wanted to weigh in. Overall, I agree with Danny. I think that being punctual is a learned discipline. However, I think forgetting one component. Does Zoe know how to tell time?
She doesn't have to know how to tell time because literally, and the guys that I work with can vouch to this, I could be really annoying. And
I don't see that.
I was annoying. We're leaving soon, guys. Guys, we're leaving. 5 minutes to go. 3 minutes. Zoe, are you dressed? Like, I was nonstop letting her know the cues were it's time to go. You don't need to be able to tell time for that.
Fair enough.
Thanks, right. Steve. Appreciate right. you. Let's go to Mort. He's listening on the app. Hey, Mort, what's up?
Hey, good morning, guys.
Morning. Hi, Mort.
I just had a question for Miller. You're telling Danny how to do it right, but at the same time, you said you're still having trouble getting your kids out on time. So maybe you should try Danny's way, maybe.
Take that, Miller.
When did I say I'm having trouble getting my kids out on time? I guess you
said till this day they still have trouble getting out.
Try it once and see
what happens.
What I found, again, everyone's different, but what I found most effective is when I have a conversation eye to eye with my children, I actually get down on their level and I talk to them and I say, hey, this is what we need to do. I found in my experience when I think, oh, I'm being clear and I just say something, but I say it out loud, maybe not to them, and actually have a conversation where I know what they're actually, you know, computing what I'm saying. That's when I have issues. Then I walk around the house doing what Danny does and saying, hey, we're leaving in five, we're leaving in two. But what I don't realize is, as I'm saying this and I think I'm making myself clear, they're in their own little world doing their thing. Because, again, like I think the previous caller made the point, you don't, like, they're children. You have to also give them latitude to be children and not necessarily expect them to, you know, be punctual if you're not making it clear to them. In my experience, when I tell them exactly what we're doing, like, and maybe Danny did, like, it seems we're getting more of the story that he kind of tried to make it clear to Zoe that they were going to Target, so.
All right.
This is a great tweet from John Davidson, and I may change my approach. He said, guys, when I was a kid and my dad told me that we had to leave at a certain time, if I wasn't ready, I was grounded one day per minute I was late.
Wow. Well,
so if you were late 10 minutes, that's 10 days grounded.
Yeah, but parents never stick with it. All right, it was a couple days. You learned your... No! Lay the freaking law down, man. Kenny...
Yeah, tell John Davidson I loved him on the Love Boat. He was terrific.
I thought he was a hell of a goalie for the Rangers. Go to Kenny in University Village. Hey, Kenny, what's going on, man?
Good morning, Cap. Good morning, Hood.
What's up, brother? Go Flames!
Exactly. Listen, guys. So my dad is a Marine. So you know where I'm going to go with this, okay? Probably I was 7 years old, Saturday morning. We're all going to Great America. Dad goes, be ready at 7:30, okay? So previous, I have to cut the lawn before I go. Cut the, you know, still cutting the lawn. 7:30 rolls past. I'm trying to hurry up. Car leaves. Guess what? They're at Great America. Guess where Kenny's at? Cleaning, you know, still cleaning the lawn out. They get back 7 in the afternoon. My sister comes home laughing. She's got prizes. She's got everything. I'm sitting in my room. Mom didn't say anything. Dad didn't say anything.
Yeah.
I didn't bring home any presents. So, you know, I think it may be generational, but learn the hard way, and that's how it has to be.
Yeah, we had also mentioned this too, Kenny, because Kenny and I were broadcast partners at UIC. You're also very compulsive too. Was that not you and I in Youngstown, Ohio, saying, "Yeah, Hoodie, we've got to get to the airport because we 3 hours early in Pittsburgh."
Was exactly
that 3 hours early. He needles me to get to the airport 3 hours early in Pittsburgh.
He's not gonna miss his flight.
I'm not gonna miss the flight.
Three hours.
Exactly right. I'm not. I'd rather be at the gate and wait for the plane. So
three
if the plane's
hours.
Late, then that's fine.
I read a whole book in the airport waiting for our flight. This guy's getting me out of bed. He's like, "Hey, Hoodie, we got to get there." I said, "The flight's not until noon." No, we got to go. Nine o'clock.
Gotta go. Right. Traffic, there could be an accident, anything.
Yeah,
gotta go.
I remember the same scenario. My wife and I are flying, and I'm like, "Hon, we're good. Relax. We got TSA pre. We're good." And we got there, and I mean, there's a delay at security, and they're not opening it up. And she's all panicked, and now I'm like, "Oh, God, if we miss this flight, I'm never going to hear the end of it." But she's like,
"There you go.
Relax. Get there on time and relax. Have a cup of coffee. You don't have to stress." Kenny, you're the man.
Thanks, guys.
See you, bud. Let's
3 hours.
Go to Bob out on the tri-state. Hey, Bob, what's up?
Pittsburgh Airport.
Hey, guys. How you guys doing today? You guys doing okay?
We're good, man.
Good,
how are
Bob.
You?
I'm doing fantastic. Yeah, what I got to say is Danny, he's got to be a little bit easy on his daughter. She's a girl. You just have to give girls whatever they want. And then you can teach her, you know, some principles a little bit later. Like, girls have a special relationship with their dad, and you just got to go accordingly. So just give her what she wants, and teach her a little bit later about being on time. She'll be fine.
Couldn't disagree with you more vehemently, Robert.
Appreciate it.
Hey, it's just the way it is, Cap. I mean, when you got a girl, you know, you just give them what they want. I mean, it's just that simple.
Yeah, but see, here's the thing that you're looking for.
Thanks, Bob.
Here's what you don't want. So what is easier to get her on Maury? Is it to go easier or go the way that Danny's going instead of be on time? You don't want her on Maury. That's the issue, Jeff. That's the issue.
Listen, we've all seen Maury. You can have, like, I think the one caller said, you could have daddy issues either way. You have to be, it's a very fine line you have to thread here. Very fine, you know?
312-332-3776. Phone lines are hopping. You want in? We will take your calls on an amazingly interesting topic.
Zoe.
Danny parenting his daughter.
Zoe Zetterman with us here on The Stern Show. My dad always wanted to be on time. I don't understand it. Why is that? Robin, why is that? Why be on time? I don't know. Zoe, I mean your father's a legend. Why was he so strict? I don't understand this. Why is this? Robin, why?
I don't understand it either.
Shut up, Robin.
We're back to this discussion right after.
There's always Zetterman with us. Hello, Harry.
Cap and J-Hood mornings.
ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app.
You make the call.
Harry!
Thanks, Harry Callis. Howard Stern, thank you for being on the show today. 312-332-3776.
What about Zoe Zetterman? She's in the studio with us. Robin, what are we doing?
Let's go to Brian in Frankfort, Illinois. Brian, what's up? Sparky!
How's it going, Cap?
How you doing, dog?
Okay. Quick scenario. Me and the wife traveling, and she's what you would call a seasoned veteran. So I do my part, get us to the airport hour early, and soon as they call it's time to board, that's the time she decides she wants to go to the gift shop to get magazines, Mentos, drinks, and I'm sitting there like, really? And I don't really calm down until they start serving snacks and drinks on the plane.
So have you ever tried to teach her a lesson?
I've tried. The first couple of times I thought it was okay, she knows what she's doing. And one time we actually almost missed the flight, and we got seated in the back of the plane because there were no more seats.
I would hate that. I hate that.
All right, Brian.
Hey, man, have a good day.
I wonder what he meant by seasoned veteran. Is she a veteran right-hander? Older? Back of the bullpen?
Traveler.
I don't know what he meant by that.
I took it as traveler.
I talk it as been around. That's what I thought. Like, seasoned veteran, been around. Been there, seen it. Done that.
And some people, like Danny, take it exceptionally literal of time.
Yeah.
Like, so when I was working down the dial, we would go play golf almost every morning because I was working nights.
GN.
Yes.
Yep.
And so I would go play golf. Well, they invite Neil Anderson to play. And I'm like, wow, I loved watching Neil Anderson
35.
Play. He's retired. He's a hell of a golfer. He's like a scratch golfer. Wow. Okay, we're going to tee off at 6:30. Well, the course we went to, they just let us play whenever we got there. So we would always roll up 6:25, 6:35, you know, right around 6:30. We pull into the parking lot, and Neil's putting his clubs back in his car. And Kaz, it's like 6:35. Kaz is like, what are you doing? We're teeing off. He's like, you told me 6:30. I adjusted my schedule to be here at 6:30. You guys are late. Have a good game. I'm out. And he left. Would not play. And so the next time we asked him, we were on the tee on time.
Wow. Didn't know that story.
Yeah.
Okay.
Let's go to Al in Lamont. Al, what's up?
Hey, guys. I'm going to call Flipper on this. I was with you the whole way. First of all, I don't tell people how to raise their kids. I got four kids, but do your thing. I was on board with the whole time thing and everything, and then I was agreeing, and then I called in after I heard that, oh, I bought her a Barbie back home. You wanted to teach her the sense of time, and you missed out? If you want to teach that lesson, you don't bring her a gift back, a special. I call my kids, I tell them it's a special. They don't get a special if they're missing a time. If you're trying to teach a lesson, you're going to be a flipper. Not cat flipper, but flipper. Because if you want to stick to this, you don't bring her back a toy, and that really teaches the lesson of, oh, I should have been on time. Now, again, I don't judge.
Don't disagree with you. I'm on your side on this one, Al.
Danny, your thoughts on buying her
a
toy?
Listen, I cannot argue with Al, but, like, here's the thing. She missed out on going to Target, and that was the only escape from the house of the day, right? Like, we're all locked in. Target's like going to the amusement park these days, right?
Yeah.
So she missed out on that. Then the boys are each coming home with something. I didn't have it in my heart to be like, not only did you not go, you're not getting anything. If it makes Al feel any better, we bought her a Barbie, and I had the boys pick it, and she hated it because it was like the most boring Barbie probably on the shelves. But, so there you go.
Well,
I couldn't not bring her something.
Al's not going to tell you what to do with your kids, but he's going to tell you what to do with your kids.
I love that.
Very well said. Let's go to Gabe on the west side. Hey, Gabe.
Hey, good morning, fellas. I'm going to make this really quick because I'm about to log on and teach my kids in 3 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
So talking about being on time. I agree with Danny with the whole leaving her because I work with kids. I work with kids like as young as 3 years old and then as old as high school students. And one thing I noticed with the kids who are like 3, 4, 5, I don't know if Danny's kids are in preschool right now, but if you teach them how to be on time, they will respect it when they go to school. And when it's like time to clean up, time to move on to another thing, kids understand what that means, and it will help them learn and be able to, you know, like help the classroom out and then help out teachers so that way, like, we don't have any troubles with, like, a student who's like, and I've had students who are like, no, I still want to do this. I still want to do this. I still want to do this. By having Danny do that, it kind of helps, you know, parenting at home. It's like, hey, time is very important. So when they go to school, it really, really helps out, helps them out, teachers like myself. With kids like that. And that's all I got to say. So I'm glad I was able to say my input. I'm about to get off the phone so I can teach right now in 2 minutes. I'll see you guys.
You're a good man, Gabe. We appreciate you.
Thank you.
Have a good lesson plan, buddy.
There you go, buddy. Were you always on time as a little one?
Yes.
Because your dad demanded it.
That's absolutely right.
Correct.
Or I get left behind. Didn't want that. So
right.
I was all, it's just, I had a sense of time. I always had a watch for a long time too.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to know the sense of time. So I was always on time. So it was an adjustment for me. I got married to someone that doesn't have that same value of time. And so there's an adjustment there.
No question about it.
But next time I'm going to leave her. 7:30 appointment and she's not there.
She see how that works out.
From the book of Danny.
Yeah, I'll do that.
Just make sure you bring her back a Barbie when you come home, Hood.
Yeah, exactly. A boring one, though. 312-332-3776. We'll get back to this, but where do the Bears go from here? Well, Mike Tannenbaum of ESPN has been a GM of two different NFL teams. Would the Bears be an attractive opening? What is the most attractive opening? We'll ask that question in 2 minutes.